myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole.
Oh man, I'm still trying to recover from not really paying attention last week. I tell you what though, by the way, Marty Andrade, this is the podcast. Welcome aboard. I am prepared, actually, for something. I do want to say to go ahead and not even vote for me for this Weblog Awards thing. I was going to push it. But right now, my goals have turned from winning to I don't want to be in last place. And I figure, well, if that's going to be my goal, then forget it. Go to CDR Salamander and vote for him. I think he is the one person who has a chance to beat out the big liberal blog on the competition. If you don't know what I'm talking about, head on to the front page of the blog. Go ahead and track down. You'll notice that I nominated myself for a Weblog Award. It's in the Flappy Bird category. Don't ask. If you don't know what the TTLB system is, don't worry about it. You'll figure it out eventually. Just go vote. But I went, and I knew I was screwed from the very first minute because of all the blogs on there, I had the lowest traffic by a factor of 4. The next nearest person averaged over 150 people a day. I, of course, only average maybe 50 people a day on good weeks, and I'm completely, totally outgunned. And I tell you what, though, I'm proud of myself, mainly because at least I have traffic worthy of a Flappy Bird. These people who have traffics of higher organisms on the TTLB system, what are they doing as Flappy Birds? They are underachievers. I should be a microbe. I'm an overachiever. And if you don't mind this web blog geekery, well, let's continue forward. Last week, I didn't even pay attention to this. I didn't care. I guess I should have more. James Baker coming in, Donald Rumsfeld coming out. I have this Iraq study group report right in front of me, and oh my, I thought, well, you know, it's going to be a political document. It'll have political things in there. I'm sure James Baker knows what he's doing. I'm certain that things will go right. And boy, do I, reading this report, I have no confidence whatsoever now in our new incoming Secretary of Defense, James Baker. I have no confidence right now in our ability to wage war. I have no confidence at all now in the situation in Iraq. At least with Donald Rumsfeld, I had some confidence. Because, I mean, quite frankly, for a guy like me, the more mistakes I make, the more mistakes that other people make, the better off we are. The more we learn more from mistakes than we do from successes, as far as I'm concerned. And as a person who's made a lot of mistakes throughout his entire life, be it as a football player, wrestler, baseball player, debater, radio talk show host, whatever else that I do for a living, I make a lot of mistakes, and you learn and move on. You learn and move on. And I thought Donald Rumsfeld, I thought everyone had acknowledged that a mistake had been made. We acknowledged the mistake. We learned, and then we moved on. But apparently, we haven't learned. All right, I have the Iraq Study Group report in front of me. By the way, I wasn't even going to focus on this week, on my big return from to doing real podcasting, until I heard about it on the NARN, the Northern Alliance Radio Network, and their analysis was quite strong. I think mine's going to be a little bit more brief. You can take it all in a couple of seconds. First, I have the executive summary in front of me. First major finding from the Iraq Study Group report: Iran should stem the flow of arms and training to Iraq. We need to respect Iraq's sovereignty. I'm sorry, Iran needs to respect Iraq's sovereignty and territorial integrity and use its influence over Iraqi Shiite groups to encourage national reconciliation. So we have to rely on, this is the first major finding, we have to rely on Iran to win the Iraq war for us and for the Iraqi people. Second major finding. Syria should control its border with Iraq to stem the flow of funding insurgents and terrorists in and out of Iraq. Oh, great. Great. Thanks. Yes, so Iran and Syria are now going to become important strategic partners in the ongoing situation in Iraq. You cannot be serious. This is not happening. I want to throw my head in the sand and just yell out, la, 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 la. No, no, I'm not hearing this. This can't be true. Don't tell me that we're going to rely upon Syria and Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, to solve this Iraq issue for us. That we're going to go to them and say, look, we don't want you to have nuclear weapons. We don't want you to be extremists. We don't want you to be fundamentalists, even though that's what you are. And we want to work with you. And we want you to help us save Iraq and bring democracy to Iraq with the goal of expanding democracy to your non-democratic nations. Now, won't you do that, Mr. Dictator? I'm sorry. Geniuses did not write this thing. Maybe smart people produce a political document with a lot of newspeak, double talk, and bureaucratic political nonsense that will kind of flush it through the political process and avoid any kind of answer to difficult issues. But I'm insulted by reading this. This is ridiculous. Third finding. United States cannot achieve its goals in the Middle East, blah, 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 without a sustained and renewed commitment to a comprehensive Arab-Israeli peace on all fronts. Why don't we just ask for a miracle? Maybe the fourth finding on this report should be ask for miracle or expect miracle. This, what, how on earth, if Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton couldn't do it, and Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush couldn't do it, how is George W. Bush going to bring peace to Israel and Palestine? Especially when you have Palestinians democratically electing terrorists to their government. Hamas recently won the election in Palestine last year. How is the United States going to undo and solve the violence problem in Israel? It's not going to happen. It can't happen. I don't have a politically feasible answer to getting peace in Palestine. I really don't. I don't think anybody else does either. But to have that be one of the important tenets of our new foreign policy in regards to peace in the Middle East and primarily our situation in Iraq, please, why don't you go look for a pig with wings? Let's go out. Let's go search for. Let's find the Loch Ness Monster. The Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot are going to go down to Iraq and solve the problem completely for us. Thank you, Sasquatch. Thank you, Nessie. Let's get this thing done now. I wonder if there's anyone in Washington, D.C. laughing at James Baker and laughing at the members of this Iraq study group. By the way, I wasn't impressed with the members either. Ed Meese, okay. He's an all right guy. Alan Simpson, not so much. Lawrence Eagleburger and Sandra Day O'Connor. Yeah, I'm sure Sandra Day O'Connor has tons of important information on foreign policy issues in Iraq. And Verdon Jordan, jeez. Leon Panetta. Yeah, no. Next finding. Additional political, economic, military support for Afghanistan. Okay, that's fine. I can't argue with that. But you can't just expect this stuff to come out of nowhere. The support, the money, the funding, the resources have to come from somewhere. We either have to fund it more. They suggest taking it from Iraq to Afghanistan. To me, that's not tenable. You can't do that. Unless you basically what that says is you sacrifice Iraq to secure Afghanistan. Well, Afghanistan, at least between the two countries, is more stable and has better control of its borders, has better control over its situation than Iraq. So you're taking resources, moving it from the unstable situation and moving it to the stable situation. I don't believe that Afghanistan is going to fall back into Taliban hands. The Iraq government should increase the number and quality of Iraqi army brigades. There's a genius finding. Iraq needs to increase the quality and number of its army. Why did we get rid of Donald Rumsfeld? Wasn't he saying that? Isn't that the status quo? The United States should significantly increase U.S. military personnel embedded in and supporting Iraqi army units. Well, that's fair. I guess that's fair. That's one thing that makes sense. But were we not doing that already? There's more. It's depressing, though. When I read through it, the first thing I thought was, this document will be an excuse to declare Iraq a failure and pull out. This is not even peace with honor. This is basically, here's a laundry list of things that were never going to happen, and we can blame the problem in Iraq on the Arab-Israeli conflict. Why not? It's not our fault. It's Israel's fault. It's the Jews' fault that we can't win in Iraq. That's why they're mad at us. That's why the Muslims are fighting each other. That's why Iran is smuggling arms and terrorists into Iraq. That's why Syria is sending terrorists into Iraq. It's because of the Jews, of course. That's it. We found the answer. You know, I don't have an answer to the Iraq issue. I don't. Here is my attitude. We went in, we removed a dictator. For good reasons, I believe. I believe the Iraq war is a justified war. More so, I believe it was a justified preemptive war. Now, we are an occupier of a nation. And as occupiers of a nation, we have a responsibility to build up the nation so it can defend itself. That's how I look at it. And we should continue to do what is necessary to stabilize Iraq and give it a chance to survive. If it takes 5 years, if it takes 10 years, we should do our best. If the Iraqi people don't run with the ball, there's not much we can do at that point. If they refuse democracy, if they refuse peace, if they refuse our help and ask us to leave, that's fine. And we can't stay there forever. We have to leave eventually. But right now, when this report was released, the Iraqis said, please don't leave. We need your help still. I think that the Iraqi government is convinced that it needs the United States to help it. And that's fine. We should stay there and support this fledgling democracy right now. Let's do something important right now. Sadly, though, I think the people of America have run out of patience with Iraq, and that could prove disastrous as far as I'm concerned. I don't want to see a civil war in Iraq. I don't want to see the situation there get worse. And I think that as an occupying force, we have a responsibility to do our best. I want the democracy to work. Will it necessarily work? No. But I don't think we're far enough along to say, nope, the democracy's not working, we need to leave. We're not at that point yet. We're at the point where this democracy is threatened. You don't leave when your fledgling democracy is threatened. You leave when it has failed or when it has succeeded. One of the two. This is the worst time to be changing policies. it's tough. I mean, it is tough to be an advocate for the Iraq War. It is difficult to be an advocate for a democracy in a nation the size of California on the other side of the world, in a nation made up of people who probably wouldn't like Americans, who definitely don't like Christians, and who don't believe in some of our basic Western freedoms. It is difficult to say, yeah, I want to support this democracy and see where it goes. Sad news, for sure. Time Person of the Year. Now, this one, I wasn't with this big stuff on the Iraq Study Group. I didn't want to focus on just that this week, though. This caught my eye. Time Magazine will be announcing its latest Person of the Year award. And they had a poll on their website where they ask, who should be the Person of the Year award? Person of the Year. They gave eight people. First one was George W. Bush. The president is always in the running to be the Person of the Year, and especially this year, I think that he's a good candidate. Kim Jong-il. You cannot be serious. Kim Jong-il, what does he do? He tests a nuclear bomb, which is a dud. It barely goes off. It's 10K. We have nuclear devices that fit into suitcases, which are stronger than this piece of crap nuclear bomb that he set off in North Korea. And that's it. That's all he did. And he should be Person of the Year for that? He didn't do anything else. All he did was he tested a dud. Tested something that is not useful in warfare. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the Iranian president. Again, what did he do? This award is supposed to go to someone who has affected the news and our lives. Well, I don't think Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has affected that many lives, quite frankly. I mean, I understand that he is probably adding fuel to the fire in Iraq and destabilizing the diplomatic situation in the Middle East. But I don't think he's dangerous. He's obviously dangerous. I don't think he fits the bill. I don't think he works this year. Maybe next year when the Iraqi democracy fails, or a miracle happens and Iran decides to go be diplomatic and help Iraq, that will be when he deserves to be recognized as the Person of the Year. But right now, all he is a scoundrel. You know, he's a sideshow right now. He is unimportant right now. He has not done anything yet. His importance has yet to be seen. Our fourth choice, Nancy Pelosi. Okay, well, if I was Time Magazine, I would be embarrassed that they gave the award to a woman who purposefully disappeared in the campaign. Nancy Pelosi, the future first female Speaker of the House. She didn't do anything. She didn't do anything yet. Again, maybe next year when the Democrats solve the Iraq problem and solve the Afghanistan issue and make peace in Palestine and give us free health care and no one is poor anymore, maybe then Nancy Pelosi will be the Person of the Year. But this year, she has not taken office yet. She has not done anything yet. And again, she disappeared in the middle of the campaign. She just wasn't there. The Democrats did not want people to think that Nancy Pelosi was really a Democrat and was really going to be the leader of the party. They wanted to remove her from the consciousness or the collective conscious mind of the electorate. Fourth choice, Condoleezza Rice. Again, she's a Secretary of State, will be in the running every year. I think she's done a great job. Was her performance this year any more or less spectacular than in previous years? I don't think so. Al Gore, your sixth choice. Al Gore, he made a movie. That's it. He made a movie, non-scientific, not based on anything. Well, okay, I mean, there was some science in there. It wasn't a bad film. I didn't mind it. But that's it. You shouldn't get this award for making a movie. Any movie. Would you give this to Michael Moore for making his BS piece of propaganda? I don't think so. I don't think he should be on that list. Hugo Chavez. This one, Hugo Chavez, he gives a speech at the UN where he calls Bush a devil, and he has basically destroyed his country. If you look at CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com, that's run by Aaron Clary. Aaron has actually run the numbers and shown that everything in Venezuela is going in the toilet. You know, GDP, there's an adjusted GDP that he ran. There's a whole bunch of other ways of measuring the success of a government, and Al Gore comes up short. I'm sorry, Al Gore comes up short no matter what you do. But Hugo Chavez and his leadership in Venezuela come up short. He did not do anything for that country. Matter of fact, it has gotten worse under his watch. He wins an election. He's going to make himself president for life. But otherwise, giving a speech at the UN, why would you give this award to a person that's all he did? That's all he did. Finally, the YouTube guys. And this one, of those on the list, I think the YouTube guys are the ones that deserve the award. They have, I think everyone on the internet has seen or enjoyed YouTube at one point this year. I would say, though, that bloggers, at least bloggers took down Dan Rather and a number of other people. At least they had an effect on pushing the mainstream media or pushing the news one way or the other that resulted in something, in anything. YouTube has not caused any event like Dan Rather quitting the news. Until then, YouTube is an interesting, if not unimportant, bit of internet. And that's what I have to say about that. You know, I'm going to find better topics. This sucked. Iraq Study Group. I agree with New York Post, Surrender Monkeys. Time Person of the Year, who cares anymore? Didn't help Colleen Rowley. All right. Thank you. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I do this every week, whether I try or not. This week I tried. I hope you noticed. And get out there and vote in a 2006 Weblog Awards. Just be sure to vote for CDR Salamander, not me, because, well, oh, all right, I do want people to vote for me because I don't want to finish in last place. That's my one goal. If I can pick up another one of these guys who has higher traffic than I am, that's a victory. The key to success, as always, is read a bunch of victory.
I will let you down. I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself, I would find a way.